Lowe played it quickly, but he just sat and watched it, and he would have had two.
Yeah. You, like I said, you can't take things for granted. That's inexcusable.
Yeah, you can't sit and watch.
You can't. You're fighting to win your division, to get a first-round bye. You can't do that.
No lies told by John Kruk, T-Mac, last night. Phillies win on a walk-off by Cody Clemens. But, Hugh, that wasn't the story last night. Unfortunately, it became about Bryce Harper. So Bryce Harper rockets one to right field ninth inning. They're it's a 1-1 game because they blew the lead on almost an amazing catch by Johan Rojas in the top of the ninth inning. But they got a chance to win in the bottom of the ninth. You know, the Rays are just an average team. They can get a run there. And Bryce rockets one to right field, and he admires it. He doesn't move. I mean,
he was like, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, he's standing there watching that thing, hoping it's a walk-off home run. Obviously, it wasn't. He only gets to first base. Let's hear how it sounded on the radio as soon as the play happened, how it sounded with Bryce.
I don't know
running.
Whether he makes it to second or not, but he definitely didn't run out of the batter's box.
No excuse.
Well, Hugh, there was no excuse for that last night. And then the camera panned to Topper in the dugout. Hugh, it was the first time I've seen Topper show...
Like he was sick to his stomach.
Real emotion over Harper. And this is, you know, speaking of patterns, and we've talked a lot about this year. Look, Bryce Harper's a great player. We know he's going through something right now physically where he's not hitting home runs. But can we just run to first base? Is it that hard? Just run.
Nah. And it's a bad look, and I'll tell you why. And he does not get a pass. Because Harper, for the last couple of weeks, has been giving us lip service about, you know, what it takes to win the division and not being, like, he was hurt. And he decided to stay in for whatever reason, saying that the division isn't won and things of that nature. In a moment like that, you have to run. You have to run because everything that you said, the leader that you are, it all falls on deaf ears when guys see that. Everybody in the stadium saw it, and it was disappointing because you are held in such a high standard. For you to do that in that moment in a tight game, that game could have went either way.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to do that in that moment, now he can bounce back from this. And I'm not being too hard on him, but you have to know as a leader and as a guy that's looked at like you're looked at, you can't do that.
No, you can't. And look, they're also getting really close to the playoffs now. It's time to lock in. I mean, it's one thing in April. Like, I don't love this any time of the year, but in April, like, am I going to scream and yell about a guy trying to admire a home run, think it's going out, and it does it? Probably not. We're getting towards the end of the season. Hugh, I'm glad you brought that up. Can we hear Harper the other day? Because Harper is the one saying all these games still matter. They're not on cruise control. They haven't won anything yet. Here's Bryce after the game on Sunday talking about how, hey, this division is not over yet.
Yeah, we just got to get going, keep going. This division ain't close to being done. Obviously, there's two good teams behind us. We're going to play, you know, the Mets, obviously, a couple times, and we got to keep rolling. Can't really worry about the magic number or anything like that. That magic number's, you know, nothing to worry about when it's 9 or 10 games. So just got to keep going, keep grinding. Obviously, as a team, we got to stay healthy the best we can, but we still got to play games and play the game and got to get in.
Keep going, keep grinding, play the game. I mean, that includes running a ball in the ninth inning. Let's hear Topper after the game. Now, he talks about an exchange. Apparently, Harper went right up to him, kind of said sorry before he got in trouble for that one because he realized he screwed up.
Yeah. And before I could get to him, he came up to me and apologized.
Does that kind of set a tone, too? I mean, we talk about, you know, having a sheriff in the clubhouse to yell at somebody if they don't do it. But when a guy making the most money in the history of the club, you know, make sure that he knows that you know and everybody knows that you know.
Yeah.
Does kind of set a tone too.
I think it does. You know, I think it shows the other guys that they need to hustle and you know, he's accountable and he admits to his mistakes and that's all you can ask for, really.
Well, I mean, I could also ask for him just to run. I mean, we can avoid the mistake instead of apologizing for the mistake. Kyle, where do you come down on Bryce last night? They got away with it. Cody Clemens bailed him out. But come on, let's run here.
Yeah, he doesn't get a pass for that.
All right, so you guys are 1-1 on passes.
Well, so I'm a clean slate guy for a new season, new Kyle, new slate. It's been the same thing all season with Bryce Harper. We've had these conversations before about his lack of focus and like why it might be, and everyone's like, oh, he's not running because he's so focused on winning. But because he talks like that. Like, the first thing that came to my mind when that happened, I texted you and I was like, he can't be talking about how the division's not over and then go do something like that. It doesn't add up. And, I mean, I appreciate that he owned up to it and that he apologized to Topper, but how many times is saying I'm sorry, like, how many times until that's not good enough anymore? Like, it's time to see it, dude. So I'm tired of him doing that. I don't think it's going to happen in the postseason, but, like, it just very much rubs me the wrong way when he talks like that about the division not being over. But the guy,
you think
is
he's just
there
talking. You just feel like he just running his mouth.
Yeah, it's lip service. Like
bumping
he's
his gums.
Yeah, like he's trying to be like, you know, it's the pandering type thing that it comes back to that.
The
like
he
wants the fans to show or wants the fans to think that that's all that matters to him. All that stuff. Buddy, you haven't hit a home run in a month. Yeah, you can't expect that
Kyle,
to go.
Man, for real.
Well, like
those are facts.
Well, it's true.
Mean, yeah,
like how can he expect that to go out? When he hasn't hit a home run for a month, like in his head, he should be like, shoot, that's probably not out. I haven't hit one in a month.
It's not like he's on a heater.
Yeah, it's time to win.
What'd you say, Kyle? Shoot.
Shoot. Shoot. Yeah. Well, we're all thinking shoot or something else as we watched that last night. Yeah, and also that was probably record level spin, like in terms of time. It went from everyone's upset, Topper's upset, to, well, he apologized really quickly, so let's move on. Well, no, stop doing it. Instead of apologizing for it, don't do it anymore.
I see what you're saying. I see where you're upset about this, man. And it is not a good look. But to acknowledge, like, a lot of times, cats don't acknowledge the fact that they screwed up that quickly.
I know, but the press conference didn't even get 5 minutes in, and it's like, well, what does it show about how good of a leader he is? It shows he's a leader if he doesn't do this.
Yeah.
You wanted a relationship analogy?
What's that? Give me one. You know I like analogies.
Oh, wow. Let's go.
You keep leaving the toilet seat up, and she keeps telling you about it. You're like, I'm sorry.
Stop leaving it up.
Yeah, but you just keep leaving it up.
Yeah.
Put it down.
That one I feel that one in my spirit. That's happening.
I thought you'd like that.
Yeah. The ones that
I
hit
saw
home.
I saw it in your eyes when you said it.
The ones that hit close
it
to
clicked.
Home.
Yep.
Yeah, that hit you right in his chest. All right.
Damn it, the toilet seat. Oh, my bad.
215-592-9494. For your reaction to Bryce Harper last night, it was obviously the win is huge because the Phillies chop another number off the magic number. But Bryce has to hustle. And I'm not giving out any passes today on a Tuesday. No, I don't give Jalen Hurts one. He has to protect the football better. And it's a pattern dating back to the start of last year. And then Bryce, your reaction to what happened last night. Eric in Wilmington. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Unc, what's going on?
What's up, pal?
Hey, Joe, you are about two more Jalen takes away from getting your invite to the barbecue taken, bro.
I don't want to miss the barbecue, Eric. I really don't.
Listen. Other than Patrick Mahomes, what other quarterback would you, this week, would you rather have than Jalen?
Are you asking me, like, who I think's a better player or who played
who
better?
Who played better this weekend?
Well, Baker played better.
Dak kind of balled out. Dak had a good – he had that many numbers.
Let me answer, Eric, and then they're two different things. I wouldn't take Baker Mayfield over him, but Baker Mayfield played better.
You're talking about for one weekend?
1 week. Derek Carr played better. C.J. Stroud played better. Sam Darnold played better. Patrick Mahomes obviously played – I mean, I don't know, 10 guys probably played better this weekend. Obviously, I don't think they're all better than Jalen Hurts, like Baker and Carr. They're not – they're just average. But they played better this weekend.
But that's kind of what I'm saying. We had a bad week. We all expect Jalen to be better. So, for some of us, we're going to give him a pass. What it just seems like from you, it just seems like he got a B-minus and you're acting like he got an F.
Was it really a B minus?
It's kind of like a C.
It was a C.
It probably was around a C. It was a passing grade, but you're acting like he got an F, and it's just like, Joe, come on, bro. Like he didn't play. They didn't play in the preseason, which I think a lot of.
Well, I like these analogies today, though. These analogies.
Would have a lot of those earlier mistakes would have been fixed, I think, in the preseason. The missed snaps fixed in the preseason. Hey, if he throws a bad pass during the preseason, hey, Jalen, you need to look this way. Hey, Jalen, don't throw it to a guy that's covered by three people. That's something that can be fixed in the preseason is what I think. Overall, it wasn't a great game, but I like to even see him getting the ball away faster during blitz. Even the emotion on the sideline, it wasn't just him and Cam had a bad snap, he goes in soap. Him and Cam had a conversation. And for once, I like to see Jalen with a little fire lit up underneath.
Well, you know? Okay, Eric, I like that too. And listen, I'll say this about encouraging parts of his performance Friday. He was really good against the blitz. I mean, Hugh was pointing out a couple times the one where the guy was coming off the right side and he knew he was going to get popped.
Got
and
his clock clean.
And he threw it quickly. Yeah. I mean, Eric, I do think there were some encouraging things. I mean, the throw to Saquon was a great, you know, throw on the left sideline. Like, he did some good things in that game, including hitting Devontae in some tight windows. He played, like you're saying, we'll call it a C. He had some good moments. He got some answers on the questions on the test right. It's just, I'm just concerned that the turnovers keep piling up. I just, because that's not who I thought he was 2 years ago.
Yeah. He's on a short string, no doubt. He's on a short string. Let's see what happens Monday. Hey, before I get out of here, Hugh, I'm down here in Jack's Beach at Philly's Finest. We love you down here, bro. Whenever you get back down to Jacksonville, let the fans of Philly know that in Jacksonville, we'll take care of you.
Oh, there it is. Eric, well,
thanks, bro. Appreciate you.
All right, you ready for another analogy?
Jacksonville.
You're not going back?
To Jacksonville?
But he said he'll take care of you.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I come through and stay for like a quick minute.
Yeah, you think they're still mad down there at you?
Hell yeah.
No, I think bygones are bygones.
Dude, have you ever been to Jacksonville?
No,
I haven't.
Gave you the description. It ain't us.
No, I'm not saying it's a town you want to go back to. I'm just saying I think the fans are probably over it by now.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, they've had a lot of other bad teams since you left.
Yeah, they definitely have.
All right, so let me give you a quick analogy because we went to the grades there, right? The A, B, C, D, B minus type of thing. Let me paint this analogy for you because this is, I feel like, what we're doing with Jalen. 2 years ago, it seemed like we had a kid, it's a student. A student.
Yeah.
Last year, came home with C's.
Yes.
All right? Now, the new school year has started.
Mm-hmm.
First test of the year.
C minus.
Are you putting your arm around him and saying, we'll get him next week? Or are you saying, hey,
no,
I know you could be better than this.
That's a great analogy. Yes. And that's, no, I'm not putting my arm around him, but I'm also not beating him up for having his first test out the gate.
Okay.
Like, I'm telling him, like, Jalen, listen, you passed, but I know you have greatness in you. I know you could do better. Like, that's kind of where I'm at with it now. Next week, because we have him test every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next week, you come out there, you lay a big old stinky turd, then Jalen, you about to catch the wrath. You might have to go see the principal.
Oh, we don't want that.
Oh, yeah, what's worse than that? I'm calling your parents.
Uh-oh.
You know, when you call the parents the first couple of weeks of school, that's not a phone call that you, like as a parent, you don't want that phone call. Like, what the hell is that? What the hell has little Timmy done at school?
What are we doing?
We just started.
All right, 215-592-9494. All this on the table. Bryce, Jalen, are you giving out passes today? Does Jalen get one? Does Bryce? We'll get to something else with the Eagles in the next segment. We file the missing person report Friday night for Bryce Huff. We filed it. I don't know if it's come back yet. Seth Joyner weighed in with his concern yesterday in the morning show and what Sirianni had to say about the relatively low snap count for the Eagles' highly priced pass rush. So that's next. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about Yards Brewing, because tomorrow night, I need you to join me under the stars at Sunset Social in Center City for our next Go Yards watch party with Philly Standard, the tailgate beer from Yards Brewing Company, and Kyle's River. Cheer on Kyle as he takes on Tampa. Enjoy $5 Philly Standards and register for a chance to win the Kyle Schwarber Ballpark Experience, on-field batting practice, a meet and greet with Kyle, and tickets for me in the Yard Suite tomorrow at Sunset Social in Center City. Yards Brewing Company, made by Philly. Celebrate responsibly. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. This segment sponsored by McGurk's Pub and Grill. If you're looking for a spot to watch the birds this season, grab your crew and head over to McGurk's. All their locations have a great atmosphere and an awesome game day menu. A lot to discuss here. Jalen Hurts, up and down, first week of the season. A win, which is the most important thing, but turnovers were too many. The fumble and then a couple more throws that could have went the other way. Are you giving Jalen Hurts a pass for week one because it was the first game in a new offense, as Hugh pointed out? Long trip, sloppy field, a loss on the first play. I'm not. I think that Jalen Hurts needs to stop turning the football over. I mean, that's just the bottom line. He needs to stop turning it over starting Monday against the Falcons. It's been a pattern now for too long. And, of course, Bryce Harper didn't run the ball out last night. I feel like more people are going to give Jalen a pass today than Bryce.
Because he got a win. Well, even though the Phillies got a win last night, too, they're probably going to lean more towards Jalen.
Well, I also think there's something just in our brains about, like, a lack of hustle just upsets everybody.
Well, yeah, and like, for what Bryce has said the last couple of days, I mean, he got to understand that's lip service. You've given us lip service. You haven't given us, you know, you've given us a lot of lip service, and then you do that. This doesn't go together.
Yeah, can we just get this out of our system before October? Like, I can't have a ball off the wall in October and the guy's on first base. Like, we just can't do this.
I don't think, like I said, I don't think this is going to be a thing that happens in October. But, like he said, it's not about the October thing at this point. He's the one saying that the division's not over. We do have a bye week to secure. Like, you can't be effing around when it comes to that kind of stuff.
You can't. I mean, like, again, I don't know if he thought it was. He obviously thought it was out. But like Kyle said, he hasn't hit a home run in a month. How about we just run and assume the ball's not going out, and then we'll slow it down if it does go out. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. In a couple minutes, we'll let you hear from Seth Joyner and Nick Sirianni on Bryce Huff, his week one performance. Ken in Cinnaminson. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken. What's up?
Hey, listen, since we're giving out passes this morning, I realize we have to give Chris from Middletown a pass because he went to Penn State. But the term is nip it in the bud, not nip it in the butt. So, you know.
Who said that?
Chris. Oh. Yeah. We're giving
it's
him a pass.
Not a dog biting in the butt. It's okay.
We're giving, but it's pass day, Ken, so everything's okay.
He's got his pass. I mean, you know, Penn State, it says enough. Listen, on Bryce Harper real fast because I want to get to Jalen. I'm just going to say this. If I was the manager of that baseball team last night, and there's no way Rob Thompson's ever going to do this, I would have pulled Bryce Harper off the first base and pinch run for him in that situation. Like, at some point, you've got to make a statement to the highest paid player in the history of the city that, you know, you don't get to decide what the rules of a game are that's been played for 150 years. Mm. And I love Bryce Harper. This is not a overall overarching criticism of Bryce Harper as a human being. You cannot do that. It's just as simple as that.
And before you get to Jalen, it's not the first time. If it was the first time this year,
exactly.
I think it'd be different. I think it'd be much less of a conversation. It's happened, you know, a handful of times this year. All right, what are you thinking on Jalen?
So people are so invested, you know, the Jeffs of the world and OG Wade and even the other guy who calls and says that they should trade Jalen Hurts and make Tanner McKee the starting quarterback. People are so invested in being right about whatever it is that they've decided they're right about, that they refuse to allow their eyes to believe what they see, okay? So the fact of the matter, it was his first game in this offense. Some of the decisions he's made with the football over the last 20 games of his career look like it's the first game he's ever played quarterback in any offense. And, you know, the first game in the offense does not excuse a fifth-year starter making the decision he made when you have to walk away with points, does not excuse him from throwing that pass to AJ Brown across his body. I mean, these are ridiculous. And look, I desperately, desperately want Jalen Hurts to get back to the 2022 Jalen Hurts. I desperately want to wake up tomorrow morning and look in the mirror and see a full head of hair on my head.
Definitely.
At some point, you have to acknowledge what you see is what it is. And this is what I know. The Eagles cannot win the Super Bowl with this version of Jalen Hurts. And this has not been an outlier. This has not been a game or two. This has been the last 20 games of his career, which is just about half of his career. And, you know, Friday night, there's a reason why they say, you know, if they could catch, they wouldn't be DBs, they'd be receivers. Because that could have been four interceptions very easily. if those guys could just catch.
Well, that and Ken, that, so, you're right. And that's why the whole results thing, they won and it was two, not four. Like, if we start basing things only on results, then we're going to get blindsided when a game comes down the line where he throws four picks. Like, he's teetering on that right now.
And you have to recognize how this organization works, right? So I desperately wanted to get back to the way he was in 2022. I'm willing to give him a chance to do that. But if 2024 looks exactly like 2023, if you don't think the Eagles are going to draft a quarterback next spring, you're not paying attention to how the Eagles operate. It doesn't matter how much they paid him, how long his extension is. They drafted Jalen Hurts as the second year of Carson Wentz's extension. So you got to prepare yourself for how this organization operates.
Well, there's no question. Can we? I mean, they did this with Wentz, right? 2018, 2019, he was not as good. And then in 2020 draft, Jalen Hurts arrived. And we're not there yet, Hugh. It's one game of the season.
Yeah.
But Ken's not wrong. If he plays like he did Friday the whole season, they will draft a quarterback.
I mean, he's under the microscope, man, because you know, when you look at the talent that we've amassed, there's no way on God's green earth that the at least NFC championship. And I know a lot of teams played this weekend. Look, one small sampling size. San Fran looked like they might be a team that might be still formidable.
Yeah, the they are. Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things, man. We've amassed enough talent where we should be in that conversation. We should be hosting an NFC Championship game or at least playing in it.
I'm going to go one step down from you.
What's that?
It's divisional round for me with the talent they have.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not in the divisional round, I think it should be really disappointing. The title game, I mean, do you think they're better than Detroit and San Francisco?
I think so.
I don't.
I think when you talk about when you talk about strictly offensively, I think so. Because this is a league that's predicated on scoring a lot of
points. Yeah, but those teams have just as many weapons.
Yeah, but I would say our weapons are better.
Close.
I would say per person, I would say we have the better weapons.
Close. I think they're close.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. And there might be a little Eagles bias in there. No question about that. But still, I feel like we are the better team.
Well, they better. Right now, I don't think they are. Now, could they get there by the end of the season? Sure. If Jalen plays better and the defense comes together under Vic Fangio, the ceiling is very high. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Good, Will. What's up?
All right, I'm gonna come in smoking, man.
Okay, let's hear it.
For both Bryce and Jalen, it ain't no more passes, bro. You're getting paid top dollar to lead a team. You're getting top dollar to be accountable for yourself, your teammates, and everything that goes on in that game now. It's time for y'all to stop, like, with this pouting and acting like females. Whatever's going on, get it out the damn door. Bryce, you ready to, you right now, like you kissing the trophy right now. You kissing them rings right now. And you, whatever you're going through, you need to get that out of here, man. Because now you're breaking the chemistry of the team. So, Bryce, hey, listen, everybody is accountable now. It ain't no more if we're going to get these guys a pass. Oh, this is happening, that is happening. No, man, it happened already. We had losing seasons, and we was right there. And we're tired of seeing that. And we're not giving no more passes. So now it's time to bring them championships home. Whatever you got to do, let's do it. The team depends on you, and so do the fans. So let's get it going. I'm trying to give it passes, and it's over with. So now it's time to settle down and know that crunch time is here. And you got to give everything, because guess what? Once you give everything, so will the rest of the team. You get paid top dollar. Remember that. Remember the fans. Remember your coaches. Remember the owners that took that money out for you. He's doing it for everybody, but mainly he's doing it for yourself. So let's get it, baby.
Let's get it.
I love it. You know what? I need that clip. Send that to the Phillies. Will, we appreciate the phone call. I want that playing in the clubhouse when Bryce Harper arrives
today.
I think
they probably already listened.
Well, I want it playing over and over. On a loop in the clubhouse as Bryce Harper arrives today. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a couple minutes, we'll play for you both Nick Sirianni and Seth Joyner what they thought of the week one performance of Bryce Huff, the new pass rusher here in Philadelphia. All right, let's grab OG Wade in Philadelphia. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How are we doing today?
OG, what's up? What are you thinking?
I just tried to enjoy listening to y'all, man. And this idiot, Ken or Kenneth, whatever the freak his name is, I mean, he wants to wake up with a head of hair. Well, go see Dr. Glatt, you punk.
Dr. Okay? Rafi. Go see Dr. Rafi.
Yeah, Dr. Glatt ain't with us no more.
Yeah. He's not. No. Dr. Yeah. Dr.
Oh, he not?
Rafi.
Okay.
No, he's
yeah,
not.
Well,
rest in
him.
Peace.
Yeah,
rest
yeah.
in peace to Dr. Glatt.
Oh, okay. My bad.
No, it's cool.
Anyway, listen.
We make mistakes.
I digress here. Yeah, I made a mistake. Hey, listen, the pass thing, I don't think Jalen needs a pass. And I don't think that he had a C. I think he had a B. You know what I'm saying? Because, first of all, those two turnovers came in the early parts of the game. So, basically, he straightened it up. He corrected it. I even seen him attempt that pass, that same pass down the middle. He looked at it and pulled it down. So, that means that he learned his lesson from that. And he went on, and we went on and won that game. And we went I was talking about the elite thing. It's the way you can control the clock and burn it and salt the game away like we talk about. There's not – every quarterback can't do that. So that was done. I mean, I think Jalen, yes, he did make some mistakes in that game, as do every quarterback. Everybody want to talk about Patrick Mahomes last year. Patrick Mahomes had 14 interceptions just like Jalen had 15. But they won the Super Bowl. You know why? Because their defense never, ever seen 30 points on their scoreboard. We have to understand these players will make mistakes. No, we don't have to be okay with them, but it's a part of the game. Jalen Hurts, in his last 2 years, has won more games than any quarterback in the NFL. No one talks about that. All you want to talk about is the mistake.
Well, the team has won the most games. Now, he's not the only one winning the games.
I understand that, Joe, but we all know that when you're talking about winning, everybody talk about the quarterback, win, how many games you won.
Sure.
The difference between 22, let me let everybody know. In 22, we had a last place schedule. We played all bum teams, no good quarterbacks. That's why Jalen apparently looked like he was a great quarterback. And last year, we played a first place schedule. We won 11 games. That's why Jalen looks like a good quarterback that has some issues during the game. That's just a part of how it goes in the NFL. Y'all talk about the quarterbacks that won that was impressive this week. You know why you said the Panthers? You know why you said because they played all bad teams. That a quarterback can look good and not make no mistakes against those type of teams.
So then what is he? But then what is Jalen?
Jalen is a good quarterback.
I agree. I agree with you. But he needs to stop turning the ball over to be great. Can we agree on that?
Joe, yes, we do can agree on that. But my point, what I'm trying to say to you is that Jalen just can't say, I'm going to stop turning the ball over. No, he's not trying to turn the ball over.
Of course not. Of course not.
It just happens. No, I mean, listen, man. It's a turn that I make at this damn light twice a day, and it's two lanes. So sometimes when I take the inside lane, I hit the curb, so I take it wide. My wife curses me out. So I'm mad because the last time I took the inside curve, I tore two of my damn tires up that cost $495. You think I wanted them to hit the damn curb? No, but I did it. So now I got to start taking the outside lane. That's what Jalen needs to do.
We agree on that, and we agree. So that's my point. Start taking the inside lane. Stop messing up your tires. Save the $495, OG. You'll be happier. We'll be happier. We always appreciate the phone call. Before we hear from Sirianni and Seth here, I just want to point... Jalen Hurts did close the game well. Kyle pointed it out. Sirianni pointed it out. But guys, we can't just be results-oriented. Like, he threw the pass with 4:43 to go, and A.J. broke up an interception. He's the same quarterback if A.J. breaks it up or he doesn't. But what's the conversation in Philadelphia if the Packers intercept his third pass of the night, they'd probably go down and beat the Eagles, right? The Eagles are up two.
I'm watching
the replay. The ball would have been at that the Packers 45 with 4:43 to go. Yeah. They're down two. There's a really good chance the Eagles lose if that happens. Jalen does the exact same stuff up to that point. He throws the exact same pass. This is why we can't just say, well, he iced the game away. Yeah, he did, but he was helped out by A.J. breaking up an interception.
Well, here's where I disagree. I think we can be results-oriented in week one with a new system and, you know, some shit. Like, the fumbled snaps with Cam Jurgens,
And I haven't been very upset
about
those.
Sure, right, but I'm saying, like, it, just as an example, we fell on those, we recovered them.
Right.
Or, like, the one, at least, right? Like, so results say, no problem, it's fine, and you can sort of brush it away by saying, look, new center, there's going to be some miscommunications there. It's week one, they got to get that ironed out. That's sort of how I'm copy and pasting that to Kellen Moore, new system, right? Clean slate for me. It's week one. So, like, in week one, a win is a win. You start doing it again in week two, week three, then it's like, okay, we have a real problem on our hands this season.
Well, that's how we. That's what last year was. That's how they won a lot of games last year.
Let me say it for you like this. You dodged the bullet. Now, going into my next gunfight, I don't want to be dodging bullets because there's a good chance that I won't be able to dodge the bullet the next time that I'm in that gunfight. So how about this? How about I don't make those same mistakes instead of making excuses? Because basically that's what we're doing. Like when you talk about how, you know, and I'm not picking on anybody, but when you talk about how you overcame this, that, and the third, how about you don't put yourself in that situation for you to have to overcome? Because let me tell you what's a truism. Jalen throws that pick at the end of the game and we're up. And they go down and salt the game away. Guess what we're talking about?
Jalen.
Threw a damn pick.
To
and
lose
he's the
game.
Same cat
yeah.
that he was last year. That's a fact. Like, so let's be realistic. That the football guys just happen to smile on you in that situation.
That's why he won, he wins. Like that's a it's a thin line. Like that.
Yeah, it's a very thin line.
It
and,
is.
And you're supposed to you as a former player. You revel in the fact you enjoy it on the night going back home from Brazil. The fact that you won the game. But you know in the back of your mind, ooh, Lord, that could have went either way. like Joe, woo! Let me be like, ooh, thank you, baby Jesus. That game could have went either way.
Yeah.
Let's be real. It could have went either way.
Of course it could have.
So, like, take Stafford, for example, that we brought up earlier. He threw a pick that might have ended up actually losing them the game in week one. Mm-hmm. 16-year quarterback, not in a new system. He's been with the same coach. Like, would you be crushing Matthew Stafford the same exact way as Jalen Hurts?
I mean, if I was doing a show in Los Angeles today, probably. It was time to finish this deal. All right, let's hear from Seth Joyner and Nick Sirianni. We spoke yesterday. Hugh broke down what he saw and didn't see from Bryce Huff week one. Let's hear Seth here. Seth Joyner on his reaction to Bryce Huff's first game as an Eagle.
About Bryce Huff, are you concerned?
Very concerned. Very concerned. The kid only played 40% of the plays last year, and they're using him in a similar way now. You don't pay somebody 3 years, $53 million to only play, you know, 15 to 16% of the time. He needs more downs. You know, if the mindset is, okay, we're going to get younger at that position, okay, and you're going to bring him over and you're going to let Hassan walk. Hassan played 70 to 75% of the plays last year.
He played a lot.
Okay, so if that's the case, then this guy has to play an equal amount.
Hugh, your reaction to what Seth said there.
Seth ain't lying, but and I know, like, I was more curious. I wonder what Seth had to say about the way he was playing. I look at him play, and like I said, I think for him, it's just him getting comfortable in playing in a high-traffic area, Joe. Cause when I watch the game, he's over there with the tight end, and I try to put myself in those situations. I never play left end, but the reads are totally different with left end as opposed to playing right defensive end. Cause on the right defensive end, it's me and that tackle, and sometimes it all depends. It might be a running back that might come chip, or it might be a guard. But you got the tight end read, you got the tackle read. You got if they're lined up really tight, you might have a receiver right there that might chip you. And you have to, especially in run downs and in pass rush downs, you need to figure out where you want to line up. And as I'm talking about it, I'm using my hands that nobody can see me actually using my hands. But you need to figure out where you want to line up at. And a lot of times, I don't know if this is true. This is just what I assess it to be. He didn't know where to line up at because he didn't understand. He didn't have down and distance awareness, I guess, or he didn't understand what position he could potentially be in because it was like he was up playing the run and then it was a pass play or whatever. It was just a lot going on. So I feel like in order for him to be better, he has to get more comfortable. That's probably why Brandon played more, because Brandon understands those situations a lot better.
Let's hear Sirianni. Do we buy what he said about the snap count, which you just alluded to there, that BG out-snapped Huff on Friday night?
What factored into Bryce Huff getting fewer snaps than Brandon Graham and Nolan Smith?
Yeah, just the way the snap counts went for that day. You know, sometimes you're in a dry, like, there's different reasons for you know, how the drive's going, if they're going and they were going on the ball, you know, at certain points. So, like, some of those plays can kind of build up, you know, in that game with the style of game it was and with some of the tempo that was happening. You know, those guys, I don't know exactly how many more reps was it, Jeff?
I think it was just a couple for Brandon and one for Nolan. Are you, well, you know, this is the guy that you gave 51.
Yeah, I know, but when it's that close, when it's like one more or two more, I mean, that the context of that, you know, I didn't know exactly what it was, but yeah, I mean, it's a couple more and just like with the catches, or with the ball, the touches, that can go different ways each game. I knew it wasn't that much more, so, okay.
Yeah. I know that you said that, you know, and maybe Vic has said this too, that it's a new scheme for him. Is that, sure. Is that, you know, and Huff didn't really produce much.
No,
in the first.
No,
I just, game, but are you guys concerned?
Yeah, no, not at all. Again, like I said, Jeff, it's just the way kind of sometimes the way it goes. And again, you want to keep guys fresh as how it goes and, throughout the game, pardon me. But sometimes that's very similar to how, like, you know, the ball, the touches on offense go as well.
What do you make of that, Hugh? You buy all that? I mean, he's basically saying the flow of the game is why BG outsnapped
Well,
Huff.
There's probably some truth to that. But, you know, shout out to Jeff McClain for asking questions. That's why, you know how you could just tell when some cats don't have a whole lot of friends because they ask the pointed questions? That sounds like Jeff McClain right there. Shout out to Jeff for doing his job. But I feel like watching the game, there was a lot to be desired when you talk about. What's so funny, Joe? What you laughing at?
Just cook, go ahead.
No, but I think that, like, he just looked a little bit uncomfortable over there playing left end. He really did. Like, and that was me in a small sapling size of him playing a position. I've seen him rush him over there. But like I said, it's different when you have to play every down from over there. And he's a little bit smaller, man. BG's a little bit stouter over there, so that's probably why he was playing. They need to figure out where they're playing him, how they're going to play him. I said this, and this is, just, again, small sample size. I would probably, in order to get the most out of Bryce Huff right now, I would probably put him on the right end. Yeah. I would probably let him play on the right side.
Yeah, I like when we have to translate Sirianni and what these teams are saying.
Because he's a long talker.
Well, he's a long talker. And here's my interpretation of that. Because remember Vic Fangio in the beginning of training camp said
he don't know what he is.
He's not ready yet to play all the downs and the snaps. Like, they just were more comfortable with BG on Friday.
Yeah,
that's it.
Basically, bottom line.
Yeah, and then he can't say that because then it seems like they're down on Bryce and they're higher on a 36-year-old who's, you know, on his last year of his career.
Game got out of hand. And you know, like, the one thing about it is this. That when you get into a certain situation, say like, you know, like they say like Mike Tyson, every time you got a opportunity, you got to play until you get punched in the face. You go back to what you know. And I think that's what Coach Fangio did.
They did. They went to something they were unknown, which was BG. And yeah, you know, right now, Huff's an unknown. 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up. And Ross Tucker as well. His reaction to the win on Friday, Hurts' performance, and the absence of Bryce Huff. All that and more with Ross next and your calls. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This one's for you, Hugh.
Who is this?
What do you mean, who is this? Who are you about to talk to?
We're talking to Ross.
You know this.
Listen,
is.
I know. Like, he's not even picked up the phone yet, but I know I probably thoroughly irritated Ross right now.
Of course you did. Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL.
I don't know all the Taylor Swift songs. I don't know.
Well, you should by now. Ross, how you doing, man?
Awesome. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Well, we're good. We got a win on Friday night, but one that gave us a whole lot to talk about. Because
a lot of trepidation.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different things in that game. Ross, what was your big picture takeaway from Eagles 34, Packers 29?
Absolutely enormous win, considering the quarterback had several really poor decisions and the turnovers that the Eagles had. I mean, to turn the football over twice in your own red zone and give your opponent the ball in the red zone, and then to take points off the board with an interception in their end zone and still win the game against a team that I have, like, number five in my Ross Tucker football podcast power rankings, that's gigantic. Like, you're not going to win very many games in the NFL at all when you lose the turnover battle, let alone the nature of those, like where they were and how they went down. So my big takeaway is that I think the Eagles are really good because I don't envision Hurts doing that very often, if ever again this year. And for them to still win a game in which he did that is like, it almost feels like they stole one to me.
I agree, Ross. I mean, especially
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, the defense stood on its head early to keep them out of the end zone and keep that game where it was. And then the other part that really helped was how great Saquon Barkley was. Ross, what did you notice with Saquon? Is it feel to you like we have something here that could sustain? I'm not expecting 26 touches a week, but Ross, my eyes looked. I watched him play. I'm like, that looks like an offensive player of the year kind of guy that we now have in the backfield.
Well, listen, I mean, all of us, when we go to bed at night and we thank God for everything and all of our good fortune and our blessings and our families, we have to also thank him and hope that Saquon stays healthy. Because if he does, the sky is the limit. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw some of the other like NFL players on social media. You know when a guy has rare juice, right? Like, you know, it's like, you know when you're like, holy crap, did you see that?
Mm.
He looked like Penn State Saquon.
Yeah, he really did.
He looked like Rookie of the Year Saquon. He just has so much explosiveness in that lower body that it's outrageous. He actually should have scored on that one run. If he veered to the right, he would have taken that to the house. Guys, he's 230-some pounds, and he looked like, I guess along with Jaden Reed, the Packers receiver, it looked like the fastest guy on the field. And I believe – here's why I'm so excited, okay? Not only does Saquon look incredible, but I am very confident that the Eagles are going to have the best offensive line in the NFL. I think when we talked last week, I think I told you guys my biggest concern was the offensive line, in particular – Mekhi Becton at right guard, because I just hadn't seen him. He played three snaps or whatever it was in the preseason. During the game, I couldn't watch it. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I went back and watched it. Mekhi Becton, now it's only one game, but it's also the only game. Mekhi Becton looks like a Pro Bowl right guard. I mean, listen, he's better in his first game playing right guard than I was in 7 years. I can tell you that much right now. He looked awesome at right guard, and that was the only question I had with the offensive line. So now we have, I'd be surprised, quite frankly, if Becton stays healthy and keeps playing like that. I'd be surprised if they don't have the best offensive line in the league. And then you combine that with a guy that looks like he's found the fountain of youth in Saquon. They could put up some ridiculous, ridiculous numbers this year. Again, I don't want to say this every week, but provided he stays healthy.
You know, with that being said, from an offensive lineman's perspective, what did you see from Bryce Huff?
Well, it seems so it's interesting because he is a speed guy. He's a bend guy. Mm-hmm. And Joe, I don't know if you remember, but Hugh was primarily a power guy. I mean, Hugh was like 6'2", 280 with that big old booty and crazy lower body. And Hugh was a big speed to power guy or just run through your face guy. And I think that that's more conducive to a slippery field than a guy like Huff, right? Where he's a bend the corner guy. He's an inside move guy, and it just, I don't think he really was able to play his game. And so we'll see what he has Monday night, because they're going to need him, I think, against the Falcons. And T.J. Watt just made the Falcons, I mean, everybody for the Steelers, but especially T.J. Watt, made them look really bad. So I did not, to answer your question, I didn't see very much at all from Bryce Huff. He didn't really do anything. They limited his snaps to, you know, primarily obvious passing situations, but that's okay. You know, I think we lose sight of the fact sometimes. First of all, the guy is not T.J. Watt. He's not Micah Parsons. He's not Myles Garrett. Okay, he's not like a guy that's going to get 8 pressures and a sack every week. He's not that guy, but I think he is a very good rusher, and I think people have to remember these things come in bunches, right? Like, it's very possible that he could go 2 games and not really do much, and then the next game he gets a sack and a half and 7 pressures. Sometimes that's just the way it is with those guys.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that a little bit, to me, he just didn't look comfortable in the positions that they were playing him, especially on the rundowns. It just looked like he didn't know where to line up at when the tight end was over there and things of that nature. So I was just kind of curious when you saw him, if you kind of saw the same thing.
Well, it's interesting, you, because if you go back, he didn't play against the Vikings, but they played him for a couple series against the Patriots, and that was intentional because they felt like he needed more reps, I think. He was awesome in those first 2 series. First of all, I was thrilled that a starter was playing, you know, in the preseason game I was calling, but then he looked really good against the run. I mean, he was throwing guys out of the way, so I think he's got more there physically. I don't think it's a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he's ever done it. And Hugh could speak to this better than I could, but, you know, a big part of being a good run defender is understanding blocking schemes and being able to play off blocks. Like, okay, the tight end's over here. He's got a lot of weight forward. They're double teaming me here. I got to jack this tight end up at, you know, his inside shoulder, knock it back and play off of him. I just don't think Huff's been in that situation very, like, I don't think he, it's almost like a football intelligence thing where he just hasn't had to do that often. Yeah, I think, you know, he's never been in this position. He's never done this before. So I think that's the issue as much as anything. He just has to get more used to seeing these run fits, seeing these blocks and figuring out how to play off of them.
Yeah, especially on that left defensive lineman spot.
Yeah, it's going to be a big storyline, and hopefully he's ready to do more of that, because they're going to need him in that rush, as Ross said, Monday night against the Falcons. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on. Excited to do this every single week, and hopefully after another victory next Monday against the Falcons. Thank you, Ross.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Take care, guys.
There you he too. Goes. Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL for his Ross report every single day on Eagles. Plus, coming up next, your phone calls here on Bryce Harper. Are you giving him a pass for last night? Not hustling, not running out. He apologized right away to Topper. But how about just hustling? How about just not doing that again, as it's been many times this season? Bryce has done that. And last night, probably the biggest spot, 9th inning, close game, tie game. He needs to run. And Jalen Hurts, are you giving him a pass for week 1 because it's a new offense, because the field in Brazil? We'll get to that. Plus, 12 o'clock hour, Nick Sirianni's full interview this morning at about 12:20. We'll replay it for you with Joe and John. All coming up. It is the Midday Show. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe, Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. This segment sponsored by McGurk's Pub and Grill. If you're looking for a spot to watch the birds this season, grab your crew and head over to McGurk's. All their locations have a great atmosphere and an awesome game day menu. A lot to discuss here. Jalen Hurts, up and down, first week of the season. A win, which is the most important thing, but turnovers were too many. The fumble and then a couple more throws that could have went the other way. Are you giving Jalen Hurts a pass for week 1 because it was the first game in a new offense, as Hugh pointed out? Long trip, sloppy field, a loss on the first play. I'm not. I think that Jalen Hurts needs to stop turning the football over. I mean, that's just the bottom line. He needs to stop turning it over starting Monday against the Falcons. It's been a pattern now for too long. And, of course, Bryce Harper didn't run the ball out last night. I feel like more people are going to give Jalen a pass today than Bryce.
Yeah, because he got a win. Well, even though the Phillies got a win last night, too, yeah, they're probably going to lean more towards Jalen.
Well, I also think there's something just in our brains about, like, a lack of hustle just upsets everybody.
Well, yeah, and like for what Bryce has said the last couple of days, I mean, he got to understand that's lip service. You've given us lip service. You haven't given us, you know, you've given us a lot of lip service, and then you do that. It just doesn't go together.
Yeah, can we just get this out of our system before October? Like, I can't have a ball off the wall in October and the guy's on first base. Like, we just can't do this.
I don't think, like I said, I don't think this is going to be a thing that happens in October, but like he said, it's not about the October thing at this point. He's the one saying that the division's not over. We do have a bye week to secure. Like, you can't be effing around when it comes to that kind of stuff.
You can't. I mean, like, again, I don't know if he thought it was. He obviously thought it was out. But like Kyle said, he hasn't hit a home run in a month. How about we just run and assume the ball's not going out, and then we'll slow it down if it does go out. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. In a couple minutes, we'll let you hear from Seth Joyner and Nick Sirianni on Bryce Huff, his week one performance. Ken in Cinnaminson. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken. What's up?
Hey, listen, since we're giving out passes this morning, I realize we have to give Chris from Middletown a pass because he went to Penn State. But the term is nip it in the bud, not nip it in the butt. So, you know.
Who said that?
Chris. Oh. Yeah. We're giving
him
a pass.
It's not a dog biting in the butt. It's okay.
It's pass day, Ken, so everything's okay.
He's got his pass. I mean, you know, Penn State, it says enough. Listen, on Bryce Harper real fast because I want to get to Jalen. I'm just going to say this. If I was the manager of that baseball team last night, and there's no way Rob Thompson's ever going to do this, I would have pulled Bryce Harper off the first base and pinch run for him in that situation. Like, at some point, you've got to make a statement to the highest paid player in the history of the city that, you know, you don't get to decide what the rules of a game are that's been played for 150 years. And I love Bryce Harper. This is not a overall overarching criticism of Bryce Harper as a human being. You cannot do that. It's just as simple as that.
And with that, before you get to Jalen, it's not the first time. If it was the first time this year, I think it'd be different. I think it'd be much less of a conversation. It's happened, you know, a handful of times this year. Right, what are you thinking on Jalen?
So people are so invested, you know, the Jeffs of the world and OG Wade and even the other guy who calls and says that they should trade Jalen Hurts and make Tanner McKee the starting quarterback. People are so invested in being right about whatever it is that they've decided they're right about, that they refuse to allow their eyes to believe what they see, okay? So the fact of the matter, it was his first game in this offense. Some of the decisions he's made with the football over the last 20 games of his career look like it's the first game he's ever played quarterback in any offense. And, you know, first game in the offense does not excuse a fifth-year starter making the decision he made when you have to walk away with points, does not excuse him from throwing that pass to AJ Brown across his body. I mean, these are ridiculous. And look, I desperately, desperately want Jalen Hurts to get back to the 2022 Jalen Hurts. I desperately want to wake up tomorrow morning and look in the mirror and see a full head of hair on my head.
Definitely.
At some point, you have to acknowledge what you see is what it is. And this is what I know. The Eagles cannot win the Super Bowl with this version of Jalen Hurts. And this has not been an outlier. This has not been a game or two. This has been the last 20 games of his career, which is just about half of his career. And, you know, Friday night, there's a reason why they say, you know, if they could catch, they wouldn't be DBs, they'd be receivers. Because that could have been four interceptions very easily if those guys could just catch.
Well, you're right. And that's why the whole results thing, they won and it was two, not four. Like, if we start basing things only on results, then we're going to get blindsided when a game comes down the line where he throws four picks. Like, he's teetering on that right now.
And you have to recognize how this organization works, right? So I desperately wanted to get back to the way he was in 2022. I'm willing to give him a chance to do that. But if 2024 looks exactly like 2023, if you don't think the Eagles are going to draft a quarterback next spring, you're not paying attention to how the Eagles operate. It doesn't matter how much they paid him, how long his extension is. They drafted Jalen Hurts as the second year of Carson Wentz's extension. So you got to prepare yourself for how this organization operates.
Well, there's no question. They did this with Wentz, right? 2018, 2019, he was not as good. And then in 2020 draft, Jalen Hurts arrived. And we're not there yet, Hugh. It's one game of the season.
Yeah.
But Ken's not wrong. If he plays like he did Friday the whole season, they will draft a quarterback.
I mean, he's under the microscope, man, because, you know, when you look at the talent that we've amassed, there's no way on God's green earth that the at least NFC championship. And I know a lot of teams played this weekend. Look, one small sampling size. San Fran looked like they might be a team that might be still formidable.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things, man. We've amassed enough talent where we should be in that conversation. We should be hosting, either hosting the NFC Championship game or at least playing in it.
I'm going to go one step down from you.
What's that?
It's divisional round for me with the talent they have.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not in the divisional round, I think it should be really disappointing. The title game, I mean, do you think they're better than Detroit and San Francisco?
I think so.
I don't.
I think when you talk about strictly offensively, I think so. Because this is a league that's predicated on scoring a lot of
points.
Yeah,
but those teams have just as many weapons.
Yeah, but I would say our weapons are better.
Close,
I would say per person, I would say we have the better weapons.
Close. I think they're close.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. And there might be a little Eagles bias in there. No question about that. But still, I feel like we are the better team.
Right now, I don't think they're. Now, could they get there by the end of the season? Sure. If Jalen plays better and the defense comes together under Vic Fangio, the ceiling is very high. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Good, Will. What's up?
All right, I'm gonna come in smoking, man.
Okay, let's hear it.
For both Bryce and Jalen, it ain't no more passes, bro. You're getting paid top dollar to lead a team. You're getting top dollar to be accountable for yourself, your teammates, and everything that goes on in that game now. It's time for y'all to stop, like, with this pouting and acting like females. Whatever's going on, get it out the damn door. Bryce, you ready to, you right now, like you kissing the trophy right now. You kissing them rings right now. And you, whatever you're going through, you need to get that out of here, man. Because now you're breaking the chemistry of the team. So, Bryce, hey, listen, everybody is accountable now. It ain't no more if we're going to get these guys a pass. Oh, this is happening. That is happening. No, man, it happened already. We had losing seasons, and we was right there. And we're tired of seeing that. And we're not giving no more passes. So now it's time to bring them championships home. Whatever you got to do, let's do it. The team depends on you, and so do the fans. So let's get it going. I'm tired of giving passes, and it's over with. So now it's time to settle down and know that crunch time is here. And you got to give everything. Because guess what? Once you give everything, so will the rest of the team. You get paid top dollar. Remember that. Remember the fans. Remember your coaches. Remember the owners that kicked that money out for you. He's doing it for everybody, but mainly he's doing it for yourself. So let's get it, baby.
Let's get it.
I love it. You know what? I need that clip. Send that to the Phillies. Well, we appreciate the phone call. I want that playing in the clubhouse when Bryce Harper arrives
today.
I think
they probably already listened.
Well, I want it playing over and over. On a loop in the clubhouse as Bryce Harper arrives today. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a couple minutes, we'll play for you both Nick Sirianni and Seth Joyner what they thought of the week one performance of Bryce Huff, the new pass rusher here in Philadelphia. All right, let's grab OG Wade in Philadelphia. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How are we doing today?
OG, what's up? What are you thinking?
I just tried to enjoy listening to y'all, man. And this idiot, Ken or Kenneth, whatever the freak his name is, I mean, he wants to wake up with a head of hair. Well, go see Dr. Glad, you punk.
Dr. Okay? Rafi. Go see Dr. Rafi.
Yeah, Dr. Glad ain't with us no more. Yeah.
He's not. No. Dr.
Oh, he not?
Rafi.
Okay.
No, he's
yeah,
not.
Well,
rest in
now.
Peace.
Yeah,
rest
yeah.
in peace to Dr. Glad.
Oh, okay. My bad.
No, it's cool.
Anyway, listen.
We made mistakes.
I digress here. Yeah. I made a mistake. Hey, listen. The pass thing, I don't think Jalen needs a pass. And I don't think that he had a C. I think he had a B. You know what I'm saying? Because first of all, he those two turnovers came in the early parts of the game. So basically, he straightened it up. He corrected it. I even seen him attempt that pass, that same pass down the middle. He looked at it and pulled it down. So that means that he learned his lesson from that. And he went on, and we went on and won that game. And we went I was talking about the elite thing. It's the way you can control the clock and burn and salt the game away, like we talk about. There's not every quarterback can't do that. So that was done. I mean, I think Jalen, yes, he did make some mistakes in that game, as do every quarterback. Everybody want to talk about Patrick Mahomes last year. Patrick Mahomes had 14 interceptions just like Jalen had 15. But they won the Super Bowl. You know why? Because their defense never, ever seen 30 points on their scoreboard. We have to understand these players will make mistakes. No, we don't have to be okay with them. But it's a part of the game. Jalen Hurts, in his last 2 years, has won more games than any quarterback in the NFL. No one talks about that. All you want to talk about is the mistake.
Well, the team, okay, the team has won the most games. Now, he's not the only one winning the games.
I understand that, Joe, but we all know that when you're talking about winning, everybody talk about the quarterback win, how many games you won.
Sure.
The difference between 22, let me let everybody know. In 22, we had a last play schedule. We played all bum teams, no good quarterbacks. That's why Jalen apparently looked like he was a great quarterback. And last year, we played a first-place schedule. We won 11 games. That's why Jalen looks like a good quarterback that has some issues during the game. That's just a part of how it goes in the NFL. Y'all talk about the quarterbacks that won that was impressive this week. You know why you said the Panthers? You know why you said because they played all bad teams. That a quarterback can look good and not make no mistakes against those type of things.
So then what is he? But then what is Jalen?
Jalen is a good quarterback.
I agree. I agree with you. But he needs to stop turning the ball over to be great. Can we agree on that?
Joe, absolutely. Yes, we do get agree on that. But my point, what I'm trying to say to you is that Jalen just can't say, I'm gonna stop turning the ball over. No, he's not trying to turn the ball over.
Of course not. Of course not.
It just happens. No, I mean, it's a turn that I make at this damn light twice a day, and it's two lanes. So sometimes when I take the inside lane, I hit the curb, so I take it wide. My wife curses me out. So I'm mad because the last time I took the inside curve, I tore two of my damn tires up that cost $495. You think I wanted them to hit the damn curb? No, but I did it. So now I got to start taking the outside lane. That's what Jalen needs to do.
We agree on that, and we agree. So that's my point. Start taking the inside lane. Stop messing up your tires. Save the $495, OG. You'll be happier. We'll be happier. We always appreciate the phone call. Before we hear from Sirianni and Seth here, just want to point out, Jalen Hurts did close the game well. Kyle pointed out. Sirianni pointed it out. But guys, we can't just be results-oriented. Like, he threw the pass with 4:43 to go, and A.J. broke up an interception. He's the same quarterback if A.J. breaks it up or he doesn't. But what's the conversation in Philadelphia if the Packers intercept his third pass of the night? Yeah. They probably go down and beat the Eagles, right? The Eagles are up two.
Yeah,
I'm watching the replay. The ball would have been at that the Packers 45 with 4:43 to go. Yeah. They're down two. There's a really good chance the Eagles lose if that happens. Jalen does the exact same stuff up to that point. He throws the exact same pass. This is why we can't just say, well, he iced the game away. Yeah, he did, but he was helped out by AJ breaking up an interception.
Well, here's where I disagree. I think we can be results oriented in week one with a new system and, you know, some like the fumbled snaps with Cam Jurgens, right?
And I haven't been very upset
about
those.
Sure, right. But I'm saying, like, it, just as an example, we fell on those, we recovered them.
Right.
Or, like, the one at least, right? Like, so results say, no problem, it's fine. And you can sort of brush it away by saying, look, new center, there's going to be some miscommunications there. It's week one. They got to get that ironed out. That's sort of how I'm copy and pasting that to Kellen Moore, new system, right? Clean slate for me. It's week one. So, like, in week one, a win is a win. You start doing it again in week two, week three, then it's like, okay, we have a real problem on our hands this season.
Well, that's what last year was. That's how they won a lot of games last year.
Let me say it for you like this. You dodged the bullet. Now, going into my next gunfight, I don't want to be dodging bullets because there's a good chance that I won't be able to dodge the bullet the next time that I'm in that gunfight. So how about this? How about I don't make those same mistakes instead of making excuses? Because basically that's what we're doing. Like when you talk about how – you know, and I'm not picking on anybody, but when you talk about how you overcame this, that, and the third, how about you don't put yourself in that situation for you to have to overcome? Because let me tell you what's a truism. Jalen throws that pick at the end of the game and we're up, and they go down and salt the game away. Guess what we're talking about?
Jalen.
Threw a damn pick
to
and
lose
he's the
game.
Same cat
yeah.
that he was last year. That's a fact. Like, so let's be realistic. The football guys just happen to smile on you in that situation.
That's why he won. He wins. Like that's it's a thin line. Like that.
Yeah, it's a very thin line.
It is.
And you're supposed to you as a former player. You revel in the fact you enjoy it on the night going back home from Brazil,
fact that you won the game. But you know, in the back of your mind, ooh, Lord, that could have went either way. like Joe, let me be like, ooh, thank you, baby Jesus. That game could have went either way.
Yeah.
Let's be real. It could have went either way.
Of course it could have.
So, like, take Stafford, for example, that we brought up earlier. He threw a pick that might have ended up actually losing them the game in week one. Mm-hmm. 16-year quarterback, not in a new system. He's been with the same coach. Like, would you be crushing Matthew Stafford the same exact way as Jalen Hurts?
I mean, if I was doing a show in Los Angeles today, probably. It was time to finish this deal. All right, let's hear from Seth Joyner and Nick Sirianni. We spoke yesterday. Hugh broke down what he saw and didn't see from Bryce Huff week one. Let's hear Seth here. Seth Joyner on his reaction to Bryce Huff's first game as an Eagle.
About Bryce Huff, are you concerned?
Very concerned. Very concerned. The kid only played 40% of the plays last year, and they're using him in a similar way now. You don't pay somebody 3 years, $53 million, to only play, you know, 15 to 16% of the time. He needs more downs. You know, if the mindset is, okay, we're going to get younger at that position, okay, and you're going to bring him over and you're going to let Hassan walk. Hassan played 70 to 75% of the plays last year.
He played a lot.
Okay, so if that's the case, then this guy has to play an equal amount.
Hugh, your reaction to what Seth said there.
Seth ain't lying, but and I know, like, I was more curious. I wonder what Seth had to say about the way he was playing. I look at him play, and like I said, I think for him, it's just him getting comfortable in playing in a high-traffic area, Joe. Cause when I watch the game, he's over there with the tight end, and I try to put myself in those situations. I never play left end, but the reads are totally different with left end as opposed to playing right defensive end. Cause on the right defensive end, it's me and that tackle, and sometimes it all depends. It might be a running back that might come chip, or it might be a guard. But you got the tight end read, you got the tackle read. You got if they're lined up really tight, you might have a receiver right there that might chip you. And you have to, especially in run downs and in pass rush downs, you need to figure out where you want to line up. And as I'm talking about it, I'm using my hands that nobody can see me actually use my hands. But you need to figure out where you want to line up at. And a lot of times, I don't know if this is true. This is just what I assess it to be. He didn't know where to line up at because he didn't understand. He didn't have down and distance awareness, I guess, or he didn't understand what position he could potentially be in, because it was like he was up playing a run and then it was a pass play or whatever. It was just a lot going on. So I feel like in order for him to be better, he has to get more comfortable. That's probably why Brandon played more, because Brandon understands those situations a lot better.
Let's hear Sirianni. Do we buy what he said about the snap count, which you just alluded to there, that BG out-snapped Huff on Friday night?
What factored into Bryce Huff getting fewer snaps than Brandon Graham and Nolan Smith?
Yeah, just the way the snap counts went for that day. You know, sometimes you're in a dry, like, there's different reasons for, you know, how the drive's going, if they're going and they were going on the ball, you know, at certain points. So, like, some of those plays can kind of build up, you know, in that game with the style of game it was, and with some of the tempo that was happening. You know, those guys, I don't know exactly how many more reps was it, Jeff?
I think it was just a couple for Brandon and one for Nolan. Are you you know, this is the guy that you gave 51.
Yeah, I know, but when it's that close, when it's like one more or two more, I mean, that the context of that, you know, I didn't know exactly what it was, but yeah, I mean, it's a couple more and just like with the catches or with the ball, the touches, that can go different ways each game. I knew it wasn't that much more, so okay.
Yeah. I know that you said that, you know, and maybe Vic has said this too, that it's a new scheme for him. Is that
sure.
Is that, you know, and Huff didn't really produce much.
No,
in the first.
No,
I just game, but are you guys concerned?
Yeah, no, not at all. Again, like I said, Jeff, it's just the way kind of sometimes the way it goes. And again, you want to keep guys fresh as how it goes and throughout the game. Pardon me. But sometimes that's very similar to how, like, you know, the touches on offense go as well.
What do you make of that, Hugh? You buy all that? I mean, he's basically saying the flow of the game is why BG outsnapped.
Well,
Huff.
There's probably some truth to that, but, you know, shout out to Jeff McClain for asking questions. That's why, you know how you could just tell when some cats don't have a whole lot of friends because they ask the pointed questions. That sounds like Jeff McClain right there. Shout out to Jeff for doing his job. But I feel like watching the game, there was a lot to be desired when you talk about. What's so funny, Joe? What you laughing at?
Just cook, go ahead.
No, but I think that, like, he just looked a little bit uncomfortable over there playing left end. He really did. Like, and that was me in a small sapling size of him playing a position. I've seen him rush him over there. But like I said, it's different when you have to play every down from over there. And he's a little bit smaller, man. BG's a little bit stouter over there, so that's probably why he was playing. They need to figure out where they're playing him, with how they're going to play him. I said this, and this is, just, again, small sample size. I would probably, in order to get the most out of Bryce Huff right now, I would probably put him on the right end. I would probably let him play on the right side.
Yeah, I like when we have to translate Sirianni and what these teams are saying.
Because he's a long talker.
Well, he's a long talker. And here's my interpretation of that. Because remember Vic Fangio in the beginning of training camp said
he don't know what he is.
He's not ready yet to play all the downs and the snaps. Like, they just were more comfortable with BG on Friday.
Yeah,
that's it.
Basically, bottom line.
Yeah, and then he can't say that because then it seems like they're down on Bryce and they're higher on a 36-year-old who's, you know, in his last year of his career.
Game got out of hand. And you know, like, the one thing about it is this, that when you get into a certain situation, say like, you know, like they say like Mike Tyson, every time you got a opportunity, you got to play until you get punched in the face. You go back to what you know. And I think that's what Coach Fangio did.
They did. They went to something they were unknown, which was BG. And you know, right now, Huff's an unknown. 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up. And Ross Tucker as well. His reaction to the win on Friday, Hurts' performance, and the absence of Bryce Huff. All that and more with Ross next and your calls. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Who is this?
What do you mean, who is this? Who are you about to talk to?
We're talking to Ross.
You know who this
Listen,
is.
Listen, I know, like, he's not even picked up the phone yet, but I know I probably thoroughly irritated Ross right now.
Of course you did. Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL.
I don't know all the Taylor Swift songs. I don't know.
Well, you should by now. Ross, how you doing, man?
Awesome. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Well, we're good. We got a win on Friday night, but one that gave us a whole lot to talk about.
Of trepidation.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different things in that game. Ross, what was your big picture takeaway from Eagles 34, Packers 29?
Absolutely enormous win, considering the quarterback had several really poor decisions and the turnovers that the Eagles had. I mean, to turn the football over twice in your own red zone and give your opponent the ball in the red zone, and then to take points off the board with an interception in their end zone and still win the game against a team that I have, like, number 5 in my Ross Tucker football podcast power rankings, that's gigantic. Like, you're not going to win very many games in the NFL at all when you lose the turnover battle, let alone the nature of those, like where they were and how they went down. So my big takeaway is that I think the Eagles are really good because I don't envision Hurts doing that very often, if ever again this year. And for them to still win a game in which he did that is like, it almost feels like they stole one to me.
I agree, Ross. I mean, especially.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, the defense stood on its head early to keep them out of the end zone and keep that game where it was. And then the other part that really helped was how great Saquon Barkley was. Ross, what did you notice with Saquon? Does it feel to you like we have something here that could sustain? I'm not expecting 26 touches a week. But, Ross, my eyes looked. I watched him play. I'm like, that looks like an offensive player of the year kind of guy that we now have in the backfield.
Well, listen, I mean, all of us, when we go to bed at night and we thank God for everything and all of our good fortune and our blessings and our families, we have to also thank him and hope that Saquon stays healthy. Because if he does, the sky is the limit. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw some of the other, like, NFL players on social media. You know when a guy has rare juice, right? Like, you know, it's like, you know when you're like, holy crap, did you see that?
Mm.
He looked like Penn State Saquon.
Yeah, he really did.
He looked like Rookie of the Year Saquon. He just has so much explosiveness in that lower body that it's outrageous. He actually should have scored on that one run. If he veered to the right, he would have taken that to the house. Guys, he's 230-some pounds, and he looked like, I guess along with Jaden Reed, the Packers receiver, it looked like the fastest guy on the field. And I believe, here's why I'm so excited, okay? not only does Saquon look incredible, but I am very confident that the Eagles are going to have the best offensive line in the NFL. I think when we talked last week, I think I told you guys my biggest concern was the offensive line, in particular, Mekhi Becton at right guard, because I just hadn't seen him. He played three snaps or whatever it was in the preseason. During the game, I couldn't watch it. I couldn't believe it. I went back and watched it. Mekhi Becton, now it's only one game, but it's also the only game. Mekhi Becton looks like a Pro Bowl right guard. I mean, listen, he's better in his first game playing right guard than I was in 7 years. I can tell you that much right now. He looked awesome at right guard, and that was the only question I had with the offensive line. So now we have, I'd be surprised, quite frankly, if Becton stays healthy and keeps playing like that. I'd be surprised if they don't have the best offensive line in the league. And then you combine that with a guy that looks like he's found the fountain of youth in Saquon. They could put up some ridiculous, ridiculous numbers this year. Again, I don't want to say this every week, but provided he stays healthy.
You know, with that being said, from an offensive lineman's perspective, what did you see from Bryce Huff?
Well, it seems so it's interesting because he is a speed guy. He's a bend guy. Mm-hmm. And Joe, I don't know if you remember, but Hugh was primarily a power guy. I mean, Hugh was like 6'2", 280 with that big old booty and crazy lower body. And Hugh was a big speed to power guy or just run through your face guy. And I think that's more conducive to a slippery field than a guy like Huff, right? Where he's a bend the corner guy. He's an inside move guy. And it just, I don't think he really was able to play his game. And so we'll see what he has Monday night, because they're going to need him, I think, against the Falcons. And T.J. Watt just made the Falcons. I mean, everybody for the Steelers, but especially T.J. Watt, made them look really bad. So I did not, to answer your question, I didn't see very much at all from Bryce Huff. He didn't really do anything. They limited his snaps to, you know, primarily obvious passing situations, but that's okay. You know, I think we lose sight of the fact sometimes. First of all, the guy is not T.J. Watt. He's not Micah Parsons. He's not Myles Garrett, okay? He's not like a guy that's going to get eight pressures and a sack every week. He's not that guy. But I think he is a very good rusher, and I think people have to remember these things come in bunches, right? Like, it's very possible that he could go two games and not really do much, and then the next game he gets a sack and a half and seven pressures. Sometimes that's just the way it is with those guys.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that a little bit, to me, he just didn't look comfortable in the positions that they were playing him, especially on the rundowns. It just looked like he didn't know where to line up at when the tight end was over there and things of that nature. So I was just kind of curious when you saw him if you kind of saw the same thing.
Well, it's interesting, you, because if you go back, he didn't play against the Vikings, but they played him for a couple series against the Patriots, and that was intentional because they felt like he needed more reps, I think. He was awesome in those first two series. First of all, I was thrilled that a starter was playing, you know, in the preseason game I was calling. But then he looked really good against the run. I mean, he was throwing guys out of the way. So I think he's got more there physically. I don't think it's a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he's ever done it. And Hugh could speak to this better than I could. But, you know, a big part of being a good run defender is understanding blocking schemes. And being able to play off blocks, like, okay, the tight end's over here. He's got a lot of weight forward. They're double-teaming me here. I got to jack this tight end up, his inside shoulder, knock it back and play off of him. I just don't think Huff's been in that situation very well. Like, I don't think it's almost like a football intelligence thing where he just hasn't had to do that often. Yeah, I think, you know, he's never been in this position. He's never done this before. So I think that's the issue as much as anything. He just has to get more used to seeing these run fits, seeing these blocks, and figuring out how to play off of them.
Yeah. especially on that left defensive lineman spot.
Yeah, it's going to be a big storyline, and hopefully he's ready to do more of that because they're going to need him in that rush, as Ross said, Monday night against the Falcons. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on. Excited to do this every single week, and hopefully after another victory next Monday against the Falcons. Thank you, Ross.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Take care, guys.
There you he goes. Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL for his Ross report every single day on the Eagles. Plus, coming up next, your phone calls here on Bryce Harper. Are you giving him a pass for last night? Not hustling, not running out. He apologized right away to Topper. But how about just hustling? How about just not doing that again, as it's been many times this season? Bryce has done that. And last night, probably the biggest spot, ninth inning, close game, tie game, he needs to run. And Jalen Hurts, are you giving him a pass for week one because it's a new offense, because the field in Brazil? We'll get to that. Plus, 12 o'clock hour, Nick Sirianni's full interview this morning at about 12:20. We'll replay it for you with Joe and John. All coming up. It is the Midday Show. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.